Welcome into a daily editorial here in the KE Report. I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. And Craig, let's again focus on the gold market as gold continues to test this new support zone, which was resistance ever since it has broken above about that 1370 level. And every time it drops, actually right around that 1400, even just below, it seems to recover. And it really looks like it's setting up kind of this new higher trading range. However, as bullish as a lot of the gold bugs want to get, a lot of the generalists that I'm talking to and a lot of the technicians are also saying it's not out of the question to get a test back down to about that 1350, 1360 level. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, Corey, it's good to talk again. We haven't spoken since, I think it was 3 weeks ago today, the last time we spoke, and that was right after that June FOMC that sent us soaring up through 1360 for the first time in 6 years. And first and foremost, yeah, like you said, the technicians, you know, that's kind of an old adage, an old traders or technical analysis adage. You know, what had been resistance needs to be tested as support. And a lot of times vice versa in a down market too. And so as soon as we got through 1360, and that had been resistance for, what, freaking 6 years, right? We started talking that day, that 3 weeks ago, about ideally there will be a pullback at some point. Doesn't need to be. I mean, I'd love to see things go straight up. But you'd like to see something that had been resistance for so long come down and be tested as support. And then from there, you then go make, you know, new highs from there up near 1450 and beyond. Then it's like, oh, well, then it's clear to everybody, you know, what's going on, new breakout and all that kind of stuff. I wrote this week about some of the commitment of traders data, the bank participation report, you know, the CFTC generated stuff, and the COMEX positioning, you know, is just a fraction of the total gold market. It's still worth following just on a historical basis, not tradable basis, right? Because the information is always at least, you know, more than 3 days stale. But at least from a historical basis, you can look at it and then say, well, okay, this is what's happened in the past when positions have reached these levels. And that's where we are. We can look now at levels that we haven't seen either in the commitment of traders levels or the bank participation report, which comes out once a month, and go, okay, well, this is about how it looked back in the summer of 16 when it was at its most extreme that we'd ever seen. So you look at that, you look at, you know, how you'd kind of like to see a pullback to test 1360 as support. And then finally, I think maybe even a more significant factor is the bond market. Everybody knows about the $13 trillion in dollar, at least on a dollar value debt, global debt that's got a negative yield to it. And the, you know, the big move in the U.S. bond market that has prompted all the speculation that the Fed's going to have to cut the Fed funds rate to kind of get a positive slope to the yield curve again. Well, anyway, in the 3 weeks since you and I spoke, rates have actually come up some. I mean, immediately after the FOMC, the two-year note got all the way down to 170. Well, that's back up to 190. And even as recently as a week ago, the long bond, the longest part of the curve, was down at 245. And now today it's back up to 260, 65. So that's going to kind of weigh on gold in the short term, too. So a pullback, not be a problem. I think the best thing, though, is for people to prepare for that mentally so you don't get head faked out, you know, because if gold does pull back to 1360 or even trade below, I mean, go down to 1330 or 40, you know, there's going to be all kinds of talk about, oh, it was a false breakout and now gold's going to 1200 and all this other garbage that ignores the fundamentals of why gold's going up in the first place. So just mentally be prepared for something that pulls back and test that 1360 level and I think actually use it as an opportunity.
Well, one thing that I find so interesting about these COT reports is it really wasn't that long ago. It was back in September that we were talking about how, on the opposite side, optimistic I think some of those contrarian traders could be because of the fact that the specs had become or were very close to becoming net short. And now we're talking about in that last COT report that the specs are almost getting to record levels of longs.
Right.
This has to be contributing too as well for the contrarian player and for those that watch the COT reports to say a pullback is due here.
Right. And it doesn't mean it has to go all the way back down to 1100 something and that the speculators have to get all washed back out to being, you know, net flat again. you know, during the last most recent, you know, sustained run from 2009 to 2011. The positions just kind of ebb and flow. You know, they get to the point where the speculators and, you know, when you look at the market or call them together, overbought. The momentum starts to slow. Price tips over. There are profits to be taken. You know, the register gets rung. Price goes back down. The speculators sell some of their longs. The banks buy back some of their shorts. And then the process, you know, begins anew from a higher low. That's, you know, a series of higher highs and higher lows is what bull markets look like. And so, you know, I just would caution people getting, you know, thinking it has to be some absolute thing. You know, you go to this record extreme, then you have to go all the way back to like the other extreme. No, that's not generally how it works. But no, we are at a point where on a historical basis, based on what we've seen in the past, obviously, that, you know, we're probably close to getting momentum kind of being a little overbought, you know, I guess in general with sentiment. And so we could use, you know, just a little washback. And then that just simply sets the stage for the buyers to come back in and make a new higher high. So again, that's just kind of, I think, to me, the way it needs to be looked at.
Now, what about Fed expectations as well? That's one of the main drivers, I think, of this recent move into gold. That and, again, some more just political and economic uncertainty around the world. But with the Fed seeming to ignore some of the recent good data in the U.S. and more or less guarantee, although they haven't guaranteed a rate cut at the end of this month, what's going to be important about that meeting? To me, it's more about the future guidance that they give. But again, this move has been a lot on the back of Fed easiness.
Well, I suppose that's right, Corey. But, you know, back in June, before that most recent FOMC you and I were talking about, you know, gold had already begun to accelerate off its lows. It was in that 1340 to 60 range. And the bond market, the global bond markets were rallying hard. And the U.S. bond market was as well, because the Fed kept kind of dillying and, you know, dithering, undecisive about things. And people, if they listen to our segment every week, might recall, or you can go back and listen to it now. Going into that FOMC meeting, I was afraid that the Fed would cut. Because if they cut, the bond market would look at that and go, huh, you know what? Now maybe there is going to be some inflation. It would reverse the rally in bonds and make rates go higher. And that might actually, in the short term, kind of take the steam out of gold. Well, that's kind of what's happening now over the last couple of days. At least in my opinion, I think the average bond trader or institutional money manager or whatever looks at a Fed rate cut now and thinks, well, maybe that'll be enough to spark further inflation. And if there's inflation coming, maybe I don't want to own, you know, a U.S. 10-year note at, you know, 2.1%. And so actually a rate cut could increase bond market selling and force higher rates out the curve. I think that's actually what Powell is attempting to do when he talks about it, because he's trying to get a positive sloping yield curve again to hopefully forestall a recession. I think that's what this is all about in what he's trying to do. Anyway, I think that's what's affecting the bond market as we speak. I think that's what then is impacting gold. In the end, though, I don't think that one rate cut will be enough to hold off a global recession. You know, as it reaches over and affects the U.S., we're already seeing so many slowdowns globally, but also in the U.S. in manufacturing and all this stuff. And even if you dare dig deeply into the employment report last Friday, you see it was really not good at all. But everybody just looks at the headline number and then forgets about it and just moves on. Digging deeply into it, it was a disastrous. A lot of really bad stuff in that employment report. So I don't think one rate cut's going to do it. I think the bond market eventually figures that out. It's going to take two, maybe three. And then once the Fed's down that path, we're talking about, you know, zero interest rates and negative interest rates, more QE. The ECB is already talking about it too. So putting that all back together, yeah, I think we could see even after the Fed cuts later this month, gold go down, not up, at least to begin with, as bond rates, bond yields go up, not down. But then as we get later in the summer and into the fall, all of that reverses again and gold makes new highs for the year.
It's more of a process, right? We have had such a nice run, especially in June for gold, and now it's taking a little bit of a breather, more or less consolidating some of those gains, But now everyone's going to be looking, what's the Fed going to do? Are they going to be signaling another rate cut in 6 weeks after this current meeting, or are they going to try to push that off? And I kind of lean on the side that they're going to try to push that off and be almost not a one and done, but a one and pause for a little bit. And that could put a little pressure on gold. What else are you going to be watching, though, here, Craig? What other factors are playing a role, or is it still just a focus on the Fed?
In the end, Corey, that's the big picture. You know, as you and I have discussed all this year, I have this theory, this forecast that I wrote in January, and we've touted it. I've talked about it maybe every week when you and I speak, and that's this idea that 2019 is a lot like 2010. In that 2010, you know, the economy was recovering from the financial crisis and GDP growth was north of 3% in the first half of the year, and QE was a one-off and everything was going to go back to normal and all that jazz. Well, then the economy began to slow, which is what we're already seeing now in 19. Eventually, it went to negative GDP growth in the fourth quarter, which is where I think we're headed. The Fed had to then act. QE was not a one-off. They introduced QE2 in November of 2010. And it was at that loss of confidence that the central bankers had a plan, that they actually had it under control, that everything was going back to normal. That loss of confidence is what sparked, you know, this crazy rally in silver and gold to go from 1160 to 1920 in about a little over a year. Again, that rhymes with this year. Loss of confidence in the central bankers, that they've got it under control, that they know what they're doing. And this reversal of policy that eventually is going to play out is all part of it. And then that all trickles down into ultimately a weaker dollar, lower interest rates, negative rates, you know, the amount of negative rates. There are junk bonds with a negative rate in Europe now, Corey. It's ridiculous. All of this continues to trickle down into increased interest in owning gold in all its forms. And that's why I've said all year that this is going to be the best year for gold since 2010. I still stand by that. I think sometime maybe in the fourth quarter, we push back up to maybe call it 1480 to 1525. And think about it. I mean, that's tremendous. I mean, gosh, what that does for the miners in terms of what their profitability is going to be, all that kind of stuff. And really, it just sets the stage for next year. So main message today is understand it's not a straight line up. There are going to be ebbs and flows, three steps forward, two steps back. That's how bull markets and the precious metals work. We might now just be in that beginning stages of a little two steps back and not, you know, just keep that perspective in mind so that you act accordingly as, you know, if a dip kind of reveals itself in the days to come.
All right, Craig, we're going to wrap it up there, but you're not alone. Looking to the fourth quarter of this year is another pop for the metals. Bit of a gray area in between now and then, but so much is just going to depend on what the Fed does, and also that last comment you made, how the dollar reacts as well. Craig, good chatting with you. Thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
You too, my friend. All the best.